Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
8:46, 14 before 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday morning, August 3rd. Thanks for getting your day started with us. And David Shanzer joins us now, director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security at Duke University, to talk about the killing of... Well, first of all, good morning, David. How are you?
Well, good morning, Tommy. I'm fine, thanks.
Hadn't spoken to you in a while, and I guess that goes to the events of the world. While we're at it, why don't you go ahead and pronounce his name?
Oh, Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Tell me what...
Zawahiri.
That's why I wanted you to do it. Tell me where does he... Let me take a step back before we get to him, David. And, you know, with inflation and gas prices and Ukraine... It seems as though Al-Qaeda wasn't on the top of our minds for a while, but that doesn't mean, I guess, that they don't continue their operations. What is the current state of Al-Qaeda, or what was it before we took out this guy, and what is it now?
Well, certainly Al-Qaeda is greatly weakened over the past 20 years, and we have to distinguish between what we call central Al-Qaeda, the organization, the kind of global network run initially by bin Laden and passed on to Zawahiri. And we need to distinguish between that and its affiliate groups, which are actually much stronger and much more active in the Sahel region, Africa, in Yemen, and in other places in the Middle East. And those are more active and more dangerous, but they haven't really gone beyond their region. They haven't been focused on, you know, American targets and so on. And so the organization that Zawahiri was leading was more kind of inspirational, organizational, but not really engaged in doing a lot of attacks. And the big question, and which I think is the last time we spoke after the U.S. left Afghanistan, is was that going to change? Was there going to be a renaissance for Al-Qaeda Central with that safe haven in Afghanistan?
What, was he in Kabul the whole time, do we know? Or was that after the U.S. got out that he went to Kabul?
The intelligence reporting that I've read is that he was in the border regions of Pakistan and moved over within the last 6 months.
So from what I'm reading about this guy, he was more of a nuts and bolts guy, a plotter, not a real charismatic kind of guy, or do I have that wrong?
No, absolutely. He was seen as more of the behind the scenes. He was not really able to, inspire through his oratory in the same way that bin Laden was. You know, nonetheless, a company man. He was there basically at the founding of Al-Qaeda. Prior to coming to Afghanistan, he was involved in, radical Islamist politics in Egypt in opposition to the government and Anwar Sadat, and possibly behind the violence against him back then. So certainly a dangerous figure and one with a long history.
Let me take a break. We come back, David, we'll talk about who else are we actively pursuing. And this missile, apparently, it didn't explode. Is that what I'm seeing? This Hellfire missile, that it just kind of like shreds something? Is that right?
That I haven't read about.
Okay, it's an interesting thing. A Hellfire missile is what they call it. But we'll continue the conversation when we come back. And also, what now do we have to worry about with Al-Qaeda? Is there any chance that they organize? When you look at the United States and the world since the 9/11 attacks, I don't know who really won. 8:50, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. It is 8:54. I'm Tommy Tucker, 6 before 9, Tommy WWL, talking to our friend David Shanzer, director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security at Duke University. According to CBS News, the missile that took out Ayman al-Zawahiri was a RNX Hellfire that has six blades that rotate at high speed and deploy before impact instead of conventional warhead explosives that the missile pierces and cuts its target rather than blowing it up. And that, David Schanzer, is some type of precision weaponry that is designed to eliminate collateral damage or do away with it and hit the exact target. Boy, you got to get your target when they're in the right spot. And along those lines, who else would we be looking for? Remember, we had the famous deck of cards with the Al-Qaeda leaders. Now that this guy's gone, who are we still looking for, do you know?
Well, going back to the missile, we had intelligence that Zawahiri liked to go out and read on his porch in the early mornings on a pretty regular basis. So that was determined to be a time where he could be hit without. Mm-hmm. And then, the idea that this kind of attack could happen right inside Kabul is really important for its deterrent effect. Anybody who is a member of the Taliban has to be a bone chilling kind of experience to know that the United States can, with like that level of pinpoint accuracy, hold somebody accountable for any sort of terrorist actions that are taken against the U.S. I think it's a watermark for our ability to try to deter the Taliban. Listen, I don't think the Taliban has changed at all. They are in bed with the terrorists. There's no doubt about it. But the question is, how active are they willing to be, and how active are they willing to allow all these different terrorists who are flocking to Afghanistan to be? And I think this attack does create an important deterrent effect.
So who is flocking to Afghanistan now? And when it comes to Al-Qaeda, Taliban, jihadists, what is our biggest worry now as a country?
Well, certainly the ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan has, they even find the Taliban to be too moderate. So they're a very dangerous organization and can certainly cause havoc. The Haqqani network has been a longstanding threat, mostly based in Pakistan, but now can infiltrate Afghanistan. It's not great. It's not good to have a safe haven. But it's interesting that it's Afghanistan's neighbors, Uzbekistan, China, even Iran, and other neighbors, India and Russia, they're worried about what's happening that in Afghanistan could blow back to them. So they're having to take actions and think hard about how to deal with the counterterrorism problem. And I think that's actually a good thing. We were there for 20 years making Afghanistan safe for China, Russia, and Iran. So if this is more their problem than ours, and we can do drone strikes to knock off individuals that we think potentially present a threat to us, to me, that's not a bad situation.
So when you look at the way the world has changed since 9/11, how much it's cost, the change in our everyday lives, and the fact that we've not heard much from Al-Qaeda lately, I'm just wondering, does that mean that we have that pretty well tamped down? Or is it like, smoldering embers in a forest fire where it could erupt at any point, and that's why we have to be ever vigilant?
Well, I think it might be somewhere in between there. It's been 20 years. Al-Qaeda has executed one attack inside the United States. Everything else was kind of inspired by the ideology. Even those inspired attacks, whether it be inspired by ISIS or Al-Qaeda, these ideas, it's really tamped down in recent years. Could it emerge again? Could, that's the nature of terrorism. One incident can cause a big effect. So we still have to have counterterrorism. We still need to spend money on it. We still need to have our CIA and other intelligence assets looking for these terrorists and trying to eliminate them whenever possible. So that's a burden we have to bear. But is counterterrorism and dealing with these groups the cornerstone and focus of American foreign policy, national security policy?
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time. I really do. We'll be back talking to Michael Glasser with Pano.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.